everyone. Just want to thank everybody for their support this year. Couldn't be prouder of the Islanders and the Islander family. Everyone stay safe. Listen to our leaders. Practice your social distancing, and hopefully we'll see you back at the rink in a short time. But these are unprecedented times, and we want to make sure that everybody's safe.
What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles, and certainly not the only Islanders podcast that hopes everyone is doing well, staying safe and healthy during these crazy, bizarre, strange times. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I'm joined by Ben Cohen.
What's up, guys? Hope everyone's doing okay.
And Kenny Yavero.
How's everyone doing? Stay safe.
Yeah. Hopefully. So before we get into it, thank you, everyone, for checking out the episode. I'm sure you're sitting at home, quarantined, not much to do. So hopefully, you know, we can provide a little bit of a distraction for you and try to find something interesting to talk about now that the season's been put on hiatus.
This is crazy. Like, this is like so wild on so many levels. Is it overreaction? Are we overreacting a little bit here, or is this for reals? Like, I don't know.
It was interesting. I was talking to a couple of my friends and thinking about how obviously this is different from like wartime in that people aren't trying to kill other people unless you're one for conspiracy theories, which, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to think. I don't know. No one knows. To try to stay as neutral as possible. I don't want to, but one of the things I was saying is one of the things that we came out of those times with was a sort of unity as a people. And I'm really hoping that we can sort of channel that after we're able to get out of this and just sort of be more unified and loving and, you know, supportive of each other as people. It would be really cool if we could sort of get that national, international unity that we've been able to get after, you know, times of struggle and crisis.
It's true. That's well said. It's very mature for, you know, of you.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I think that's a pipe dream because
yeah.
I'll always hate Ranger fans. And I saw a tweet that made me laugh this morning. That's a guy, and I'm sure this has made the rounds, but a guy said he got so bored that he went to the aquarium and he booed the penguins because he misses hockey.
I haven't seen that.
I saw
so
that.
So, you know, I mean, no, but in all seriousness, yeah, I would hope that, you know, people are trying to help each other out and help your neighbor and all that. And, you know, I mean, it's crazy. It's, you know, it's happening all over the place. I mean, I've got international clients and I've got, you know, people in Germany that I talk to, and it's the same thing there as it is here. People are, you know, they clear out the stores and, you know, everybody's paranoid and they're in survival mode and stuff. So, you know, you just hope that whatever this is doesn't last too long, that we can kind of ride it out for the next, you know, 14 to 30 days or whatever it's going to be. But I think you guys would probably agree with me, no matter how long this lasts, again, whether it's the next few weeks or whether it's, you know, 6 months and beyond, I think it's changed our world permanently, economically. I think, you know, as far as corporations go and businesses go, I think a lot of people are going to realize that they don't necessarily need to have everyone in the office, depending on how smooth, you know, certain businesses. I mean, obviously certain businesses are set up better for telecommuting than others, but I think that this is going to have profound changes to our society, some for the worse, but I think a lot of things for the better when we do come out of this.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, I don't want to be like too negative on the other side of it. Like, as far as what Ben says, like, what I think what he's like referring to, which I don't even know if you were like were alive for it. Were you 9/11? Like, how old were you when 9/11 happened?
I was not quite alive. I'm 2002.
Yeah, yeah. So
Are you serious?
Yeah, like, dude, the whole thing he was talking about, how everyone was like nicer to each other, like that, in my opinion, happened after 9/11. I mean, that's not my opinion; it's a fact. Everyone was like much nicer to each other. But like this, I don't think this is gonna do it. This is like making people hate each other more. Like, you go to the food store, there's nothing on the shelves. Like, it's just like, ugh. Like, there's just too many people, dude. There's just too many people. And
I hear you. I mean, I think the problem is that, like, 9/11, first of all, 9/11 was a U.S. only kind of thing. I mean, yes, it had global implications. I mean, I'm not trying to say that it didn't, but it happened, and then it was like, it was terrible, but it was like an instant thing, and then everybody kind of like could heal immediately after that. I mean, there was, you know, 24 to 48 hours where everybody was kind of scared, is there another attack coming? But like, eventually.
Yeah.
It didn't have the legs like this thing has, where, you know, number one, you can't put, you know, you can't make it your enemy. I mean, that's part of, unfortunately, as humans, we band together many times by disliking something else. I mean, look at sports. That's basically the entire premise of it. It's like, oh, I like blue and orange, so I'm going to hate you guys now, and I'm going to hate you, and I'm going to hate you. You can't do that with this, because
Yeah, well, I'll just say this. Like, I want to just cut you off before I lose the point, because I'm slow. But like, like, I feel like it's becoming a political thing, which is making people hate the Democratic. Because, like, listen, I mean, let's be honest. It's whether you like Trump or not. Like, the media really has been pretty skewed negatively towards him for so long. Whether you hate him or not, I mean, that's just.
He doesn't help himself.
He's a bozo. He's a complete bozo. He's like a comedian. Like, the way he wins debates is by talking shit to his opponents. Like, that's kind of, it's kind of funny, but it's not presidential. Like, I'll give you that. But
we should get him on the pod.
And but like, I just feel like they've tried to smear him so many times, and I guess this is the conspiracy theorist in me saying, like, this really goes after the one thing that any Trump supporter, if you want to call it that, has, which is the economy is really good under him. You know, like, that's no doubt about it. Whether that's because of all the previous presidents, like, setting it up, and that this is just a wave, he just kind of hit it, or if it's really directly because he's in office, the economy has done better. And this can be blown out of proportion and make it seem like a bigger deal than it is, and hence crashing the economy during the debates for that. It's like, I don't know, dude. No, I just don't trust the media, dude.
It sets us up for like so many different possibilities. There's going to be I guess the optimist in me, like, I think that we'll get through this as a people. I don't think it's going to be the death of civilization. I think that when we get through this, there are going to be so many possibilities for unity. And it's going to be up to us as a people and our leaders, and but really, like, it could just be like the individual, like you said, like, being nice to your neighbors. Who knows what it's going to be? But I just think there's going to be an opportunity that where people are going to be like, all right, what next? And if we're led in a direction of unity, I think that we can really get out of this. And the example that I've sort of thought of was when you think of like the most classic recession in our history, you think of the Great Depression, and we were lifted out of that by a war. And now, obviously, like, the war was terrible, but like, that national unity that we got, we came together as a country for a cause. And I think if we can be led, hopefully not for a war, but just for happiness on earth, to just for that unity, and there's going to be an option, there's going to be a window that someone can seize and take us in that right direction. And
The only way that happens, though, is if this gets really bad. And, like, honestly, would you look and I'm not saying this disease doesn't exist or it's not bad if you get it, but there are so many, like, so is this going to be like every year they're just going to decide, like, we're going to shut shit down? Like,
they're going to wait until there's a vaccination.
Like, and then, dude, vaccinations don't happen for a year, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a year away. But, like, so many businesses are going to lose their, like, this is not going to, I don't think this is going to be, like, a happy thing where we come out of it and we'll love each other. Like, there's going to be so many businesses that go out of that go look, out because it's change things, is it overreacting? Like, are we overreacting a little bit? Do you know anyone with it? Do you know anybody with it? Does okay. anybody know anyone with it?
I don't know anybody. Well, I know. Okay, so my
a pandemic,
Jill,
bro.
She works in the doctor's office and she's got confirmed cases of her patients. So like, it's out there.
Yeah.
I'll say this. And then I think we'll get into some Islander stuff because I don't want to be too doom and gloom. But we also, the three of us, as a listener, I'm sorry, but the three of us kind of need a little group therapy anyway. So we're just going. So, but you know, okay, I can handle things through pop culture mostly. That's just been me my whole life. So I'm gonna take you back to one of my favorite movies, The Dark Knight. And the Joker makes a great point in that movie. And I'm gonna paraphrase, of course, but like. You know, he basically says, like, if a gangbanger gets killed, nobody bats an eye. If a soldier gets killed, but, you know, somebody that you're not expecting to die, everybody loses their minds, right? Like, it's this whole thing where, like, if you are aware of it, no matter how bad it could be, as a society, we accept those things and we move on. Like the flu. The flu is a killer every year. But you go to Walgreens, you get your flu shot. You know, you know that it's coming. If you get – like once we're through the first time, first of all, we're going to build more immunity as a society to this thing, number one. Number two, there'll be a vaccination that will come out at some point. You know, I think like a week after they canceled the NHL season, Canada had a cure close at hand. So, I mean, that's going to happen, right? But I just think that this is the first time. And until it runs its course the first time, we're still in the unknown. So this is like the critical peak of like the hysteria and the fear. But once we get through the first one, it's not going to be the same. It's going to be very different, and it will change things, but it's not going to be something that stops the economy and the world like it is right now. This came out of nowhere, and I think that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. And to go back, Ben, you know, you remind me, you young, beautiful, innocent child. You remind me of a song that I want to play. And I'll just talk as I play it in the background. But I think it's We Are the World, hopefully. I didn't cue this up. I didn't have it planned. But, you know, we can band together as a society and love one another and come together as one. Wouldn't you say, Ben?
Oh, that was poetic. It's almost like somebody else wrote it.
It is. It's. I mean, we just need it. We need a big, you know, we need a group hug. So anyway.
We literally can't hug.
It's true. It's true. We can virtually hug from six feet apart. Virtually. It'll be fine. And the last thing I'll say is I think the other problem that you guys mentioned with like the depression and all that is like that was isolated to us. This is global. So whatever's going to happen is going to happen to everybody. And, you know, it's not like one country's down and they need to start manufacturing something. I mean, we got out of the Great Depression because we could manufacture, you know, weaponry and we put people back to work again. I mean, that is not necessarily what's going to happen here. It's just, you know, we're in a global economy now where, you know, China manufacturing falls down and, you know, that affects everything and everyone. So I think we're going to get smarter as a society from a manufacturing standpoint. I don't think you can have one country. That's like having a single point of failure. I think you're going to see diversity in, you know, manufacturing and all that, which is good.
That was good. That was definitely well put. That's the best thing that's going to come from this is like, hey, let's not have 85% of our pharmaceutical stuff come from China. Let's not do that again. Like,
right.
So that's good. It just sucks. Like I hear about people's businesses like struggling and stuff. And it's like, it's just too easy for them to just be like, oh, we're shutting things down for 30 days. Like the people making those decisions are not hurting. You know what I mean? Like that's the problem here. I don't always trust the media. That's my thing. I always question the media just because they've been so crazy lately. Like does anyone really trust anything they say, regardless of this stuff? Like, even if they're telling the truth on this, Like, do you really believe everything they say prior to this? Like, I don't know. Like, that's just me.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to say.
It's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to get, like, real evidence, you know?
How we're going to come out of this, if we're going to be better, if we're going to be worse. And I think that's a good transition to the Islanders, because who knows whether we're going to come out of this better or worse. Like, do we really know?
Well, Pelech's healing up. Cizikas is healing up. So if we do come back, we should definitely be better, right?
Bro, let me tell you, every team's fan base has got the same list of guys hurt, and they're like, oh, just wait.
We need Cizikas and Pelech, though.
We got that corona.
Toronto ain't doing that.
Yeah, what do they got? Like, perfect example. So they postponed the season. What's the first thing that Jules says to me? Well, you know, JVR had that broken hand, and, you know, it gives Patty some time to recoup. I'm like, dude, everybody's saying the same thing.
JVR is a piece of garbage, though. Like, come on. He's such a fucking overrated.
They had a good season, man. They came on.
They had a good 20 games, though. They had a good 20 games, and the season's over now because of coronavirus. I don't remember anything Philadelphia did. I don't want to hear it. Didn't happen.
To be fair, JVR was that guy that everyone traded for in NHL 14.
Well,
am I wrong about that?
NHL 14,
he's a little lighter. Yeah. He was a little lighter, a little faster, a little younger back then.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he reminds me of a Kyle Okposo. Just like a guy getting overpaid. You know, like, is he
you
really
know what?
That?
No. I'm going to defend Kyle Okposo chance I can. Because
Jesus Christ. You and Bailey?
Here's why I'm going to defend Kyle Okposo. No.
Dude, this
no, no,
piss
no.
me off. Hold he, on. Wait. No. David, hold on. Not, wait. Listen. Just listen. Okay. You can continue now. Go.
I'll take bad takes for 500, Alex. Go, Kenny.
No, you go. You go.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to say about Kyle Okposo. Did I want to re-sign him when his contract was up? No. I did not think, and I thought that was a wise move by Garth. However, if you watched Kyle Okposo, he was on an upward trajectory until Dion Phaneuf killed him in a preseason game at center ice.
I do remember that.
He was never the same after that. So he was a great dude. He had hands. He had silky hands. He was like the power forward that we wanted, all that stuff. But after he was murdered by Dion Phaneuf, he just never was the same. So
what about backhand toe drag into the corner, curl to no one.
Though. Okay. Well, that was the same. In his defense, when he was on the aisles, he was playing with no and one as his wingmates. So, I mean, yeah.
I know,
team was brutal. Brutally bad.
I can't blame him. But
I used to say that Kyle Okposo was going to be the captain of the Islanders right when they moved, and I kept calling him Captain Kyle of the Kansas City Scouts because I thought they were going to move to Kansas City, and I figured that Okposo was going to be the captain. So thank God that didn't happen. But, yeah, no, I loved Kyle Okposo. I thought he was great. And Josh Bailey, look, he needs to step up, but so does every Islander at this point. So, I mean, come at me, bro. Like, who are you gonna say is playing well right now? Well, played well, right?
Now. Yeah, yeah.
Ilya Sorokin.
No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
If he just comes
until that man wears blue and orange, I will not ever believe that he's coming.
What colors does his KHL team play? Do we know that answer?
Do you know the KHL team that he plays for is like backed by the Russian government. So if they don't win, it's like.
Yo, what if that's why he's good? I would really suck.
No, you can't fake that though. Like,
yeah,
no,
you can't fake that.
Goaltending, you know? Like,
I just picture him like at the end of every game, like going down into like the depths of like whatever, you know, the Gulag Arena or whatever that they play over there, and he like goes down and it looks like the set from Rocky IV, and there's like all these blondes in like suit pants and jackets, and they're like, you know, they're basically just like Ilya. Go, and they push and they point to like some like piece of equipment, and he's like, but I'm tired, I put shutout, and they're like, not good enough, go. And then like they make him go and do like all this stuff, and then like he goes into a chamber and it fills up with this like weird colored gas, and like he comes back and like his body's totally restored, he's like pumped up on Russian gas, and just, you know, he looks at like a stack of pucks and he goes, I must stop you,
Damon. We have roles on this show. That crazy shit is Kenny's job. You need to stay in your lane.
I guarantee you that is what happened. Talk to any NHL player that went over to Russia, man. They're on Russian gas. Maybe I took some liberties, but what do you want from me? I'm stuck in my house. There's nothing to do, and I love Rocky IV.
Okay, to be fair, that's fine. Like, whatever.
Thank you.
Okay, so we had a sort of theme for this episode, and what I thought was the season is canceled, or if you want to use Gary Bettman's words, paused. I think that must have been for marketing, because so that to imply that it's going to finish.
Did you hear the speaking of Gary Bettman, and then I'll let you go. But did you hear the conspiracy theory that it was actually him that released coronavirus?
I kind of like that idea.
Because he was like, because he basically was like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Islanders, you can play at the Coliseum the rest of the season and the playoffs. Too bad you don't realize that there won't be any. And then he opens the file. The
conspiracy that actually makes sense is that's why the refs don't give us any calls.
It's true. It was all a setup from the very
beginning. It was all a setup.
Yep.
But
I don't want the cap to go up, so I'll spread a little chaos.
I mean, it would make sense.
You're like, well, can you imagine imagine going to work every day and getting booed by 20, 25,000 people every time you show up at an event, right? How do you get back at them? I'll show those little sons.
Well, in fairness, Roger Goodell gets booed by a lot more people on a lot more regular basis, and he hasn't spread coronavirus. Speaking of Roger Goodell, talk about a dude that is sitting in his chair laughing his ass off about how this is fucking the whole world except for his.
Well, for now, but, you know, things are going to change, man. Like, I'm sure people are not going to renew season tickets at event. Like, paranoia is a powerful thing, so
okay, but think
I'm sure that this will impact them too, man. Like, just because it's not right now, like, doesn't mean that it's not gonna
Think about how much money the NFL is making, because that's the only league people are talking about. That's the only sport that exists in the world right now.
Well, right now, but that's I think baseball still, you know, like it's not
start when it starts. Like, they've canceled.
No. But I mean, people are more hyped about baseball right now than they are football. I mean, except for the fact that Tom Brady's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, which is, again, I tend to think that I'm stuck in a weird, like, this is the Twilight Zone and my life is actually not unfolding in front of me like I think it is, because.
And Stephon Diggs is a Bill.
Right. And like this is just, I don't even know what's happening right now. So, I mean, I don't know. This is just strange times.
Sorry about the football talk, but you heard us talk about politics for 20 minutes, so chill.
Tell people to chill. We're going to spread love. Chill. Make up your mind.
Let me rephrase.
You got to be angry at the world like me and Kenny, or you got to be filled with love, and you'd be like, please, everyone, allow me to partake in some football chat for 2 minutes. Thank you. Ben's getting pissed.
Oh, I'm flustered.
You know that, Ben.
Just because I got a Snapchat that distracted me from what you were saying.
Well, okay. Wait, can I ask a question and then you can get into the
Snapchat is?
Can I just ask general question? And let's assume that the NHL will come back in, say, like 45 days or so. Like, do you think the Islanders are going to continue to play the way they were, which was crap, or do you think they'll be better?
I think they'll be I've always thought that at some point the Islanders will be somewhere between how bad they're playing now and how they were on the point streak. I've always thought that the 6 or 7 – I'll get up the schedule right now, but like the 6 or 7 games after the break, like they lost to the Canucks in overtime, and then they won like 5 of 7 or something, and then they continued to play well and the bounces didn't go their way, and then they started playing shit and the bounces still didn't go their way, so they were like really, really bad. I've always thought they would be somewhere around like where they were when they were playing well, but the bounces didn't go their way. So they like were 500, but they were playing a little bit better than 500. That's where I see them. Do you disagree?
I mean, Damon, what do you think? I'll go after you, buddy. I mean, he's dead. Corona got him.
Damon, you good?
Coronavirus, dude. It's real, man. Stay indoors, everybody.
He's going for a piss or something.
He's
Kenny,
gone,
what do you
dude.
That's exactly what happened. I couldn't wait. I could not wait. I thought I could get by. I'm like, all right, Ben's. I'm like, I've been talking for a while. Ben's probably got at least a few minutes in him. And I'm like, and if not, Kenny will pick up the slack. And I'm gone for probably 45 seconds. Damon, are you there?
Okay, by the way, I'm 1,000%
You guys suck. You couldn't vamp for like 2 minutes?
I'm all leaving right. it just so you know.
I honestly
think... You should leave it in, because you know what? Like, what else are we going to talk about, man? Like, we could sit here, we could be like, name me the five greatest Islanders to play from 1990 to 2000. Like, it's who cares? Like, I'm sorry. Like, do you really, like... If you've been listening to us for this long, then you chances are, and I don't know how, but chances are you like our personalities, you like the banter. So we're just, I mean, there's nothing else to talk about. The season's on pause. Nothing's happening.
Okay, so do one of you want to give your opinions on how good the Islanders are going to be?
I think that they'll – listen, I think I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that if the season does come back, we would – I want to say it would be a real problem for teams, because I think the way we play wears on you, especially over an entire season. I mean, last year we didn't
really. The season isn't happening anymore. Like,
I know, so we're well rested. You know what I mean? So it's like we're playing that kind of style where we need to be 100% healthy and rested. And I don't know. I just feel like it's easy to play soft hockey, which a lot of teams play, and the Islanders do play a little bit more of like a heavy defensive game. So it could. And the playoff hockey, it's kind of like we're kind of built for that. Yeah, our goal scoring is total shit, but, you know, I think we'd be better.
I think if Casey's back and healthy, it's a different – I hate to say it, but, like, that just changes the dynamic of the team. Will it solve all the problems? No. Do I think that they'll play a little better if he's back? Yes. Do I think it's good enough for them to get out of the wild card? No, I don't. I don't think that the roster is good enough.
Make the playoffs, right?
I think they would, but man, they are. It all depends on what the NHL decides to do, because, like, right now, as it stands, not from points percentage, but from the standings, they're outside looking in.
Well, and, the thing, it's a really good segue, because what I'm thinking is there are so many different ways about how we come back. How do you think we should come back when we do come back?
It all depends on the timing. I saw something from, and I don't know how much truth there is to this, but I saw like a player's proposal that was like, basically they would come back and have a mini training camp in like July and then finish the season in July. Playoffs and cup are August and September. And then they're like basically off for October for the draft and all that stuff. And then it would start again in like November. So that's if you continue with the season. One of the things I loved, which I don't think will ever happen, but one of the things I loved is that every team gets in. There are basically two qualifier rounds based on where you're seated at, and then it goes into like the four main rounds after that. So I thought that was cool, and that was like league wide. So it didn't matter if you were Eastern Conference, Western Conference, like it just seated the entire league, which I mean, I thought that was pretty cool, because, I mean, at this point, like, you might as well have a little fun and give fans something that they wouldn't see. Imagine, like, a first round of, like, Isles and Avalanche or something. Like, that'd be fun. It'd be different, you know? But that's what I'd like to see. I don't want them to just cut the season off and start the playoffs if they come back and it's, like, based on points percentage, because, number one, I don't think that's fair to Columbus. They have more points than us, and you're assuming that the Islanders would win the games that – they still have to play, which, again, I don't think is really fair either. So I think you'd have to almost do like a truncated season, maybe like six games to kind of let things settle and get everybody to a certain amount, and then start the playoffs after that. Because you don't want to start the playoffs cold either. Like, that kind of sucks. Like, you want to play a couple of games to get back into the – so I would like to see, like – where were the Islanders at? How many games did they have played when the season stopped? I think they were at like, I don't know, maybe get everybody to 75 games, if that's possible. But
I mean, I heard a thing where they were trying to do maybe like 1 versus 16, just the top 16 teams make it, but they kind of like intermingle like it used to be, like 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15. In my opinion, the best way to do it would be just let the top 20 teams make it. You know, maybe give a little leeway to two teams that could be fighting for the wild card spot, like the Rangers or the Islanders, and you know. But the teams that were completely out of it don't deserve to be in the playoffs or have any chance of being in it. I'm sorry, your season's over. Like, your season was basically over, and you're playing with house money half the teams in the league. So you let the top 20 go in, and then maybe do, you know, some sort of, you know, I don't know if you have time for a regular season, to be honest. Maybe it would just be a training camp in that, but I think that'd be the most fair way of doing it.
Well, those three listeners from Detroit just stopped listening, so thanks.
Well, but yeah.
Other than that, no, I agree with you. Here's the other question that I'll ask, because really this is just guessing, and it would be fun to have like some different seating, but really I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Do you think if the league did even come back this season with all the other stuff that everybody's worried about, do you even think that the playoffs would mean what they normally do? I mean, I kind of feel like the best course of action here is to just let the season die. Like there's other things going on in the world. Like, I hate to say it, I'd love to see playoff hockey, don't get me wrong, but it's not going to be the same.
Ready? Well, here's my take. Most, oh yeah, you go first.
Because I wanted yeah. your takes on this, because I'm not sure how much I feel like everyone's thinking about, but I'm not sure how much you guys thought about it. I've been thinking for days and days and days trying to finalize this, like in my head, of how it's going to work and if it's possible. And to me, this idea of a playoffs, if you think about where we are in the world right now, and you know, shit's hitting the fan collectively. Shit has hit the fan and is still hitting the fan. Sorry if that painted a bad picture in anyone's mind. Although now that I just said that, it definitely did.
I mean, it's like in your mind, did you picture one of those table fans that have like the little grate on them, or like a ceiling fan in a bedroom?
I hadn't thought about it, but.
Well, I want to know. That's important. When shit hits the fan, what is the fan that you picture in your mind?
A table fan that has a rotator.
Me too. That's totally Kenny. Okay. What about you?
Ceiling fan, real mess.
Really?
Yeah.
Go home. Okay. Sorry, I hijacked that. Go back.
Okay. Anyway, so, I guess when you say desperate times call for desperate measures, you have an opportunity to take the ball and run with it. I guess where you have an excuse to do something crazy, like batshit crazy. Not to go back to the shit reference.
Stuck on poop.
now we know who's the teenager here. Moving on. We've got an opportunity to take the reins as hockey and to be a sport that was a secondary sport and like have an excuse to do something fun. And to my mind, steal March Madness. Fuck March Madness. You take it and you make a hockey playoffs with everyone. You've got 31 teams. Meaning the Bruins, as the President's Trophy winners, get a bye week, and you have 32 teams. So the second placed on point percentage, I believe, Lightning are the Lightning second. I think the Lightning are second. The Lightning are second. And then the Blues are second. So the Blues play the Red Wings and the by point percentage. And it's a best of three series. The
Red Wings.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
The Red Wings beat them.
No. It's best
because
of three.
All the Blues got fat over the break.
It's crazy. Well, because that's the thing is, someone's gonna win that no one would expect to win, and it would be crazy. It would be like a UCSB or some shit. UCSD. I mean, like the 16 seed in March Madness, like beating a 1 seed. You're stealing March Madness's thunder, and everyone loves March Madness.
Are you only having one game? It's not a series anymore. It's just one game.
No.
Oh my God, that'd be crazy.
It's best of three. It's best of three.
Okay, I was gonna say, welcome to Bettman's Bonanza, where anything can happen.
No, well, that's why you get a best of three, because then you're more likely to get the good teams to win. So it's obviously there's home, home, home. You've got home, off day. So every series takes a week, we'll say. Meaning you've got 32. That's 1 week.
So cool. I'm loving
it. I like it. Round 16
is another week. The round of the Elite Eight is 1 week. Then the Final Four is 1 week. That's 4 weeks. And then the final is the Stanley Cup. It's best of seven.
And the Islanders win the Stanley Cup.
I think the quarterfinals should go best of five, and I think the semi and finals should go seven.
Okay, that's fine. But to me, that becomes an opportunity where it depends on when the season restarts. It depends on how much time you have. Because the thing about doing a crazy different version of the season is that you have to like get back to normalcy. The goal is to get back to normalcy in come October. So if you start the season in June and you only have best of three for the first, second, third, and fourth rounds, that takes you a month to get to the Stanley Cup final. And then you just start the Stanley Cup final, and you'll be done with the playoffs in a month and a half. You'll be done with the whole season in a month and a half.
Right. And then Andrew Ladd can go back to fishing for sturgeon.
See, we're all good. Everyone
best
is
player happy. Last game. Best player last game.
He was
our best player last game.
But also, last game.
That was a week ago? It feels like 7 years ago. Like, dude. Do you remember when Andrew Ladd played? It's like, in my mind, it's old grainy film. Like,
How do you remember that? Like, what?
He was the best player last game. He's right.
The Hurricanes?
Didn't he score?
He did score.
And he had that big hit. Hey, you guys don't remember.
That's right. He had the big hit.
He had that giant hit on that guy, too. He's got some bolt. Listen, don't hate on Andrew Ladd.
I mean, Ben, I love your idea. The problem is that hockey is run by a bunch of old Canadians in suits that have no fun and
If it can't the All-Star game. They've been experimental with the All-Star game. I could see them doing this. This is a good idea, Ben. The only problem is the Islanders are going to win the cup and everyone's going to be like, oh, it doesn't count.
Who cares? We'll be with the Astros then. We'll give us an asterisk. I'll take a fifth cup with an asterisk all day.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Give me a trash can. I'll bang it right now.
The Islanders are going to win the cup.
You guys talked about how there's like no one's going to care about the playoffs because it's an asterisk season. When you do new shit, people are going to care.
It's true.
And basketball fans are going to care. And football fans are going to care. And fucking cricket fans are going to care because it's new shit.
LeBron's and he's not playing in front of an empty stadium.
You know what? I just got a text message actually from Gary Bettman. And he says, new plans, only the original six can compete for the cup if we come back. Thanks. Love you. GB. Okay, cool.
The rest of Kevin in the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the
Rangers the Rangers still wouldn't win with their 1-6 chances. Boston would eat their lunch, but anyway, I digress.
That would be so funny though.
I could see them doing that more than I could see them doing your idea. And it wouldn't be the Stanley Cup. It'd be like the Stanley Cup or something.
The Batman Cup.
Yeah, we're just gonna do the original six. All the other arenas were tied up at this time, and I'm sorry. But
they're gonna do it all at Barclays.
No, they can't. Barclays got coronavirus up the wazoo, man. Like, they got to disinfect that shit for, like, 3 months.
Do they actually?
Do they really?
Well, the Brooklyn Nets are all infected, man. That's where they play.
Oh, really? Kevin?
Really?
I forgot about that. Kevin Durant is tested positive, right?
Yes, he did. Four of them did. And then one of the Ottawa Senators, because they shared the same locker room as the Nets. Now, that may not have been in Barclays, and it probably wasn't. Just go with it. Just go with my theory.
So, like, these guys that are getting it, are they, like... Like the one case that you said, Jules knew someone. Like, are these people in bad shape? Like, or they just have the flu and they're all right?
No, they're not in bad shape. I think the people that you're seeing dying, even the younger people, they're, and not to make light of this because it's not, but like they had pre-existing conditions. So like either bad asthma, they were coming off of, you know, surviving cancer over the last few years. Like, that's a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's terrible. Yeah. But that's kind of what I'm seeing.
The issue with people having it is, like, not so much them getting the flu. It's them having it and passing it to other people.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes you have it and you don't show symptoms. So, like, if I have it and I'm chilling with my grandparents, like, I'm fine, but they're fucked.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can't go see – like, yeah, I'm not going to see my grandparents. I'm not going out anywhere, like, because I'm – you know, I'm not worried about myself. I think I'm in pretty good shape, but, like, I can't imagine, you know, giving it to them. They're in their, you know, mid to late 80s, so it's –
Yeah, true.
So –
Any cases for Islanders?
Can we go through the potential – unless, Ben, you've got another one here and I'm jumping the gun, I don't know, but potential Islanders that we will not see – ever again wearing the blue and orange. I mean, I think Tom Kunackle's done. I think Thomas Greiss is done.
Are we assuming that the season doesn't finish?
Yeah, let's assume that the season's over.
Okay, can I throw a bombshell? Actually, before I throw a bombshell, Derek Brassard is on that list.
Oh, yeah, of course. Josh Hosang? I wonder how he's doing. No, I don't care. Yeah. Just kidding.
You know who's not coming back? And I'm people are going to be really sad about this, and I'm going to tell you all I told you so. Matt Martin is not coming back.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think we need him anymore.
I don't think we need him.
Better fighter, better player.
He'll end up on the Rangers, and Boomer Esiason will love him. That's a Ranger move. Mm-hmm. That's such a Ranger move. don't you think?
They'll give him $3 million. Mark my words.
No.
2.5. 2.5.
Whatever we were. $1 million more, so he'll probably get like play for the Rangers, and they'll be like, oh look, now we'll, you know, Boomer will talk about the Rangers all day long. It's such a Ranger move. Totally see that happening. But I agree, Ben. I think there's a good chance Matt Martin is has played his last, which is sad. That's sad. I don't, from an emotional standpoint, that's very sad, because when Pajama Boy left, and then we got Matt Martin back, you can't tell me that you didn't feel some kind of sense of calm, even though obviously completely different players, but like that felt good. That felt right, that Matt Martin was coming home after we just got hosed like that. So
yeah,
that'll make me sad. But.
Like, I'll go on the record and saying, if we sign Matt Martin back for $1 million, I will take it in a, like, I would love to sign him back for $1 million. He does not deserve to get what he is paid right now. If he says, I'll take a pay cut and sit on your fourth line or in the press box whenever you want me to, I love you guys, and he signs for $1 million, I will. That's what I want. I want him to come back. I think that it would work. I for whatever reason, something about the fourth line works. Just our record with the first fourth line intact versus it without it is just light years better. And I don't want to fuck with that if we don't have to, but I also don't want to pay Matt Martin $2.5 million a year.
Yeah, that would also work with your theory of the world coming back and loving each other, because he said that he loves them all. And
yeah, but he does love them all. Like, that's just a Matt Martin thing. I feel like that's not dependent on the world.
It's true. He's the mayor of Long Island, basically.
Have we drafted a guy like a Matt Martin since we drafted Matt Martin? Because I really feel like it'd be nice to use some of these, like, picks to get a guy specifically like a younger guy who's bigger, and this is the type of game he plays, instead of trying to go for goal scores every time.
Did we draft Ross? I don't think we did.
We didn't draft Ross, no.
We could, I mean, who knows? Maybe we can get something out of Koivula.
Not like that.
Yeah, not like that.
Koivula looked soft, man, when he was... Can we talk about Otto a little bit? A tiny bit? He disappointed me when he was here. I honestly can say... Besides Kiefer Bellows, I've been disappointed with everybody that they called up.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What do you really expect out of him, though?
Well, like, I mean,
he's a little tentative. A
chance, you know, like that's – Bellows impressed me. Wahlstrom impressed me, too, for different reasons. And, I think that he was not utilized properly, and I don't think that it's a coincidence that when we started playing these veteran scrubs that we started losing, but I digress. Trotz knows everything. I will say that I thought Bellows established himself. I thought he played physical. I thought he was a presence. And I didn't think that when I was watching Bellows compared to Koivula and Wahlstrom and even Bardreau to an extent, I didn't feel like I was watching a young guy that needed to be sheltered with Bellows. I felt like I was watching a player that could establish himself physically, that could score goals, that like could help the team.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. He's more mature physically, though. Bellows is older, correct? Or are they same age?
No, Bellows is what, a year older than Wahlstrom? Koivula is same age or same age, younger, yeah. Even.
I mean, Wahlstrom seems to have the most talent out of everyone.
Needs
more time.
Yeah. But you know, I'll throw another wild card out there that I'd like to see the last time he's ever in the organization, Brent Thompson. I hope he coached his last game as a Sound Tiger coach, because that guy's awful.
Well, yeah, and I think when you talk about those guys that are coming up, like, there's one common variable, and that's, you know, the coach of the Sound Tigers. And I think that's definitely an issue. But I also think that when you're talking about how Bellows did not look like he needed to be sheltered, I think that Trotz and Lou sheltered him less than they sheltered the other guys. Like, I think that he was sheltered more than I wanted him to be, and he was also scrutinized more than I wanted him to be. But I think he was allowed to play more than the others, and he was also judged harsher than the others, because he played two goals and didn't play the next. He scored twice, I think, on his, like, the second game of his career, and he didn't play two games after that.
But you know the answer to that. You know why. That wasn't a true come up and help the team. That was a showcase. And that's what makes me angry about that, is that I just
He scored two goals. He should be able to play. Like he showed you he can play, so let him.
Right, exactly. So I think part of it is that he was sheltered less because he didn't need to be sheltered, and also, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, it's both. But I mean, I'm happy with what I saw out of Bellows, but he's not a game changer. I think Wahlstrom has the ability to be a game breaker a lot more than Bellows does. But that doesn't mean that we can't have a third line that's cheap. If we're going to pay our top two lines a lot of money, let's have a third line that's cheap and get these guys worked into the lineup next year. So,
well, we're not going to have a third line that's cheap because Pajot's on $6 million.
That's true, but the rest of them will be cheap.
Yeah, but
here's something else I'd like to see, and I don't know if this is actually – I don't know if he would do this or not, but we're pretty much seeing, like, we're lucky that we've had Lane Lambert as long as we have, and the reason why Trotz brought in Hiller was because he thought that Lane Lambert was going to get the job, I think, in Anaheim. What if Lane Lambert took Bridgeport over – and coached them and, you know, got head coach experience in the league that might help his resume? Because obviously something's stopping him from getting a job. And then we keep Lane Lambert in the system. And then, you know, eventually then he's got a little bit more of an impressive resume. But I think that would help our young guys a lot more than what we've got down there now.
I think there's a risk that the Islanders lose something, like the actual Islanders lose something that's not worth what they're gaining in Bridgeport, just because I think there's a reason that we want him to stay as much as we do.
Yeah. I mean, it's one way to look at it, but I'm looking at a team that, and probably every fan base can do this. So what I'm saying is not unique to the Islanders, but like you're looking at a team that has not gotten everything out of their prospects. And I think that's an understatement. I think their prospects have been mostly squandered away. And but something's got to give with that.
Bridgeport.
Dougie doesn't need to do anything, man. Dougie's probably just kicking it. He's gonna kick it with his friend Billy G.
Oliver Wahlstrom will thrive under him.
They'll never bring him back. They gotta bring, you know, no. It's gotta be somebody from internal that they would. I mean, you know, but that was just an idea that I had while we were talking that I thought might be kind of cool, because something needs to change down there. The team was second to worst in the AHL. I mean,
yeah,
that's, come on. I mean,
there's a reason that part of it, no, go ahead.
I was gonna say part of it is that, like, their goaltending is trash.
Yeah,
they have such a bad system now, like their prospect pool, like their goalies are awful. They really not in a good spot right now, this team.
Yeah, and I think if you guys are good with Bridgeport and Koivula and prospects, I think maybe like the last thing we'll talk about, because we can afford shorter shows to keep save things for next week.
It's true, yeah. Don't use too much.
Is for next year, continuing to look ahead, we've got guys under contract. We've got I was looking on Cap Friendly actually, and like, low-key, like 70% of Bridgeport is a UFA or RFA next year, but that's way less important than
that's good, the though.
Current Islanders.
At least we can turn it over.
That's fair. But like a solid, like, for the Bridgeport defense, five of the starting six are either UFA or RFA. Oh, and all six of them are UFA or RFA. And then Bodie Wild is the only one, and he's not even playing in Bridgeport. But anyway, with the Islanders, you've got Matt Martin is a UFA, we talked about. Brassard is a UFA. Brassard, I think, is gone. Barzal, restricted free agent. Kunak, all gone. Andy Green, Ryan Pulak, and Devontaeus. So I'm curious, do we think that the global shitstorm is going to affect the cap going up? Do we think it's going to affect, because it was projected to go up, some people had it almost going up $5 million, which would have been huge for the Islanders, who I believe are already tied down to $71 million against the cap next year, and need to sign their players. And also, just, you know, for a counterpoint or a secondary point, how do we think the fact that we might not play again this year affects these guys who need contracts and how much money they're going to get?
I mean, I feel like it's going to help us because I don't think we're going to have to overpay for anyone. It's just looking at this, if the cap doesn't go up $5 million, we might be in a little bit of trouble, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know what you guys think as far as Barzal's going to get, and the consensus seems to be like $10 million. Let's assume he gets $10 million, and then Pulak is already getting paid $2 million. What do you guys think Pulak gets? I mean, I think he deserves six, like, right?
That's the cap hit. We're done. I mean, we can obviously move things around, but as it stands, if we sign Barzal for $10 million, that's the cap. We're at the current cap hit.
Yeah, it's not good.
I don't think he deserves $10
million. He does not. But I think
he's a 7.5 to 8. How long has it been since he scored a goal?
Well, the thing is, I would have said $9 million before, and I just think it's gone down because we haven't played in however long, and we're not going to play for however long. I just think that will affect how much money people are getting.
Right.
Yeah. I think we need to trade and move on. We need to either buy out Ladd, or if we're not going to buy out Ladd, you got to trade one of Nelson or Bailey or someone that's getting paid $5 million that just doesn't – like, it's I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how to fix this team. I don't know how to fix this team offensively. I hate to tell you, but neither does your GM. I don't believe in Bailey and Nelson. They've been here for too long. It's just, are they hurt? Is this what you're going to get? It's just that no one really steps it up other than that first line with Eberle and Barzal. Other than that, no one steps it up ever. And I'm honestly tired of seeing Nelson and Bailey here. They disappear for so long. And the effort, it's just a shit effort, like, to be honest. There's no other word to use. It's just a joke. And I can't go 10 games and seeing that. I just can't do it. So.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing you're not thinking of, at least for this season, if it does come back. Maybe Brock Nelson's body clock resets, and by the time we get to the playoffs, he thinks it's October, and he basically wins the Conn Smythe, and we win the cup.
Listen, I'd rather keep Nelson over Bailey, to be honest. I think Bailey – there's got to be some value for another team at that price for what he could bring to the team, you know. But again, like, it's not – you need to replace him with someone. You can't just get rid of him for no reason. It's got to be to move cap space around.
I think you're right. And I think, Ben, to answer your first question, I'm not sure how much the new TV deal is factored into where they're going with the cap, but certainly – the cap is based off of revenue, and there's no revenue coming in right now. So I don't think you're going to see the increase that they were projecting. If that's the case, it's not just the Islanders that are in trouble. It's a lot of teams around the league because everybody was kind of banking on that extra breathing room, and now that may not exist. So I think you may see some cap relief in terms of teams being able to go over because they had their meetings and they were planning, but I don't know how that's going to all play out. I think from a contract standpoint, any of these RFAs that were thinking they were going to make X amount of dollars next year, I think they are going to make less than that. And let somebody make an offer sheet on Matt Barzal. Because you know what? If it's a stupid number, I'll take the 4 first round picks. Thanks. Like, you can't lock up unless he's going to sign for 8 years, give us max term at 10, and you're betting on him developing more as a player. That is the only way that I sign him to that much money. If not, I'm giving him a bridge deal of 4 years or whatever at like $7.58 million, and that's it. So that's how I would do that. And Kenny, to address what you're saying, at this point, I really don't care what pieces get moved, because I think fundamentally this team needs to make some kind of change. They are not fast enough. They are not dynamic enough. They are, when they score goals, they let more goals in. When they clamp down defensively, they can't score because they don't have snipers, they don't have finishers. They have too many third and fourth line players throughout the lineup. So yeah, I would say you need to definitely make some significant changes to the core. So if that means Bailey gets moved, if that means, you know, at this point Brock Nelson, I mean, anybody at this point, I really it wouldn't really
Letty. Hurt my Letty feelings. Needs to go. Like, he's the first guy. Before those two guys go, they gotta move Letty. It's time, dude. This guy is a piece of garbage out there. Like, he's visibly the worst guy we have on the team on defense. You can't argue it.
No, I agree completely. And I think you guys are, I really disagree with you guys about the Nelson and Bailey thing, specifically with Nelson. First of all, I think Brock Nelson has been the MVP of the Islanders this season. That's just me. I think he's been the best player on the team this year.
For the first 75% of the season, but the last month, Ben, he's been non-existent.
Yeah.
Until last four games, he's got 4 points and a +2. I know it's.
See the goals he's scoring though. Like he's standing. Like it's like standing still. Like it's not like it's gonna happen. He plays a lot of minutes, you know. Like it's gonna happen. I know
there's a little bit less, but
gotta carry the team at some point.
The season. Brock Nelson has 54 points in 68 games. He's a second line center. He's making $6 million a year, which is, I mean, like all of those are really good, really good. I'm thrilled with that, and I know that he's been in a little bit of a drought, but guys, shit happens. And to me, if you're Damon, you said we have too many. Third and fourth line players. To me, the answer to that is not to offload 2 second liners. I just don't see how that math. I know that it gives you more money to retool, but when you are a team with not enough top six guys and too many bottom six guys, I just don't see how the math works to start that process by getting rid of top six guys.
Well, you got to replace them. You got to replace them with other, you know, you got to replace. I think the problem with this team has been the wings, and it's going to continue being the wings because
Nelson's the center.
Right. No, I agree. That's why I think you have a better shot of like moving Josh Bailey and getting, you know, because again, you go down to it. And you know what? The fun thing has been to trash Anders Lee this season. I don't know why. I mean, yeah, he's not scoring, but he's involved. He's involved in front of the net, and the power play has been so bad. And, you know, more times than not, he's gonna shoot at a higher percentage than what he had where he's been. So I don't have a problem with him staying. I don't have a problem with Eberle staying. And obviously Matt Barzal. So your first line is great. Where I struggle is the rest of it. And I know, again, like the fourth line and all that. And, but okay, great. But like you're not getting goals from Cal Clutterbuck and you're not getting goals from Matt Martin. Okay? So there's two. You're not getting goals from Leo Komarov. You're not getting goals from Michael Dal Cole. That's four. Beauvillier sometimes will make his presence known and other times is invisible. So that's a 50-50. Like, where are your reliable wingers on this team in the middle of the lineup?
Well, they don't exist.
Non-existent.
No, it's completely fair to say. I think Beauvillier is the guy that you have to say, all right, he's young and his upside is still big. And I think that he's shown a clear improvement this year from last year. So I want to sort of take a little bit off his back.
Agreed. I'd say that. Yeah, for sure.
Like, I think Bailey's taken a step back from last year. Like, agreed. Maybe two or three steps back from last year. I mean, we're talking about the Josh Bailey that, like, scored the OT winner in game one.
Well, the whole team is kind of taking a step back from that standpoint. But like, yeah.
You're thinking about Josh Bailey. Like, think about that celebration. Think about the face on Josh Bailey's. Like, think about the look on Josh Bailey's face. That celebration in the corner. Everyone listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you're in the wrong place.
Game one to the island.
Exactly. He's not there anymore. He's not even close to there.
Well, no one. Okay. When you were watching the Islanders, let's say the last 25 games, when the first line was not on the ice, who did you think was going to score a goal out of
people
like the bottom three lines?
Maybe Kiefer Bellows.
Right. So a guy that we were showcasing to trade for a 90-year-old winger.
And maybe – I guess I'm not – I'm going back and forth on whether I can say Devon Toews because he really, like, last two
– Forwards, Ben. Forget the D. Forwards.
Okay. No, they don't exist.
There's no one.
With the best two forwards – this season, not on the top two lines. We talked about Nelson and Beauvillier both being in slumps.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, again, like with Beauvillier and with Nelson, but I think even more with Beauvillier, we used to talk about, you know, first couple podcasts. I mean, like the first 2-3 months of the season, I mean, in the 2019 portion of the season, one of the things we were saying about Nelson Beauvillier, whether they scored or they didn't score in games, they were in it. Yep. Beauvillier on the forecheck was a weapon. When Cizikas went down the first time for like 2 weeks before the skate cut, when he was down the first time, Beauvillier emerged as like a really good penalty killer. I didn't see that coming. I don't know if you guys did.
No, I didn't. I certainly didn't.
No one cared. I mean, if he wasn't scoring, it sucked that he wasn't scoring, but he was in the game and he was always one of the better players on the ice. Yep. And it kind of sucks that that kind of went away with also him not scoring so much. Because that's the Beauvillier that we saw the earlier in his career, where he was either scoring or he was not on the ice.
They became him and Brock Nelson. Forget the stats. They became just invisible. Like they weren't involved in anything, and you can't rely on that. You're not going to have success. Now, again, I've been saying that I think Brock, based on the body of work, I think Brock has been hurt or something's going on there. So maybe this gives him some time to heal. Maybe Beauvillier is nursing something. I mean, as a whole, if the season does resume, I know every team is getting rested and stuff, but I like our chances if we're 100% more than a majority of the league. So my only concern is that did they bury themselves too deep? And if their first round matchup is against the Bruins, I don't care how healthy they are, team's getting smoked.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the answer to that question is it too late? Like, sort of has to be no based on principle, because like you just have to believe in yourself. But also I think if you're not against the Bruins, you have a chance. I like our chances against everyone except the Bruins. I'm not going to say I would favor us, but I would say the best team, not the best two teams on form, not the Bruins, are the Lightning and the Flyers. The Lightning we've matched up well against in the past. I still wouldn't favor us, but we've matched up well against in the past.
I would take Philly, man. I think we would crush Philly. I really do. And I'm whispering because I don't want her to hear me in the other room, but it would destroy my relationship, but we would get out of the first round, I think.
I think so too. And I gotta say, I told you this the last couple of weeks, I would really want to see an Islanders Capitals series. I hope to God it's in the second round, not the first round. But yeah. I have a good feeling about that series. I can't explain it. The last 2 years we played the Capitals, 8 games. Islanders have 4 wins. Capitals have 4 wins. The Islanders won 4 times in D.C. The Capitals won 4 times in New York.
Yeah, no, it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. And if we play Boston, can we play all 4 games in Boston? Because they own us in New York.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I would go to some games, Ben. So, you know, just wear a mask.
Yeah, I'll go to the Boston game. And the last time I was at TD Garden, the Islanders won in a shootout. It's funny, I leaned over to the guy next to me. I was like, I hate skills competitions. And then we won, and I was like, yes.
That was a great game. Man. Well, I think there's things to look forward to if we get back to that place. And I think if the Isles can return to form, I think we'll be in good shape. But I don't know if they're good enough to do that. I hope I'm wrong, but you know, I think we've seen that this is more or less what this team is now. And unfortunately it's not great. And I'll go back to saying last year when I went off of my tirade about how disappointed I was in Lou, because I thought we had caught lightning in a bottle and we didn't add to that. And this year I think he tried to add, but the ship was already sinking. You know, I mean, we were taking on too much water at that point. So Peugeot, you know, they could go on record as saying that after they traded for Peugeot, they never won a game the rest of the year. Like, that's crazy.
That's just whack.
Crazy. So, well, I mean, I think that we've kind of covered what we can cover for now. I think we'll probably end up recording next week because we're not going to have much else to do. if you guys are interested, I mean, I could recap instead of talking about the you know, COVID-19 and talking about politics and all that. We could get into like some of the video games I've been playing. You know, I mean, you got Doom Eternal that came out this week. Looks pretty good. Rip and tear. Animal Crossing New Horizons, if you want more of the Ben feel of, like, you know, the love and build your village and island and everybody loves each other and gets along. But yeah, the PlayStation 4 is getting a lot of use right now. I'll tell you that much.
Ooh, I'm an Xbox guy.
Well, I am too. I mean, I've been Xbox forever. I've got both. I just fight me, but PlayStation 4's exclusives are so much better than Xbox's. It's not even funny.
I'm a simple video game guy though. It's FIFA and NHL and GTA, and that's about it.
I was gonna say, yeah, GTA, I'm sure. Yeah.
Although, yeah. I like Watch Dogs. I don't know if you guys played that, but
yeah, I played the first one. I didn't play the second one with the hipster in San Francisco. I played the first one with the weird guy in I think it was Chicago. First game?
I think so. I forget.
Yeah, I think the first game was in Chicago because I remember walking by that weird. Forgive me, I'm so uncultured, but the circular. Reflective thing that's in Chicago.
Yeah.
That thing. I think I remember seeing that in the game. But anyway.
And is it just me, or did they say that they were gonna have GTA 6 in London? I love that idea.
No, they haven't said anything yet. Can we talk? Well, all right. So we're done with Islanders talk. If that's all you came here for, then you can stop it now. We may go on for a little bit longer. So I'm a little bummed because I have a trip planned to London in July, and I'm gonna assume that that's probably not happening now.
Oh, who knows? Honestly, like, I had a trip planned in March and it got canceled, or as in, like, I would have been there now.
Yeah,
I would have, yeah, and then I was gonna come back and visit some schools, and schools being colleges in Philly, Maryland, DC. I was gonna do that run.
What school were you looking at in Philly?
I was going to look at Haverford and Penn.
Okay. All right. As long as you don't say Drexel, I would stop podcasting with you.
Is there a beef with Drexel?
Oh, yes. Stony Brook, my hockey team, and Drexel.
Oh, okay.
We hated each other. We hated each other. They were,
well, I was going to see the Islanders Flyers game at Wells Fargo on like the 25th or something.
Mm.
And then I was going to see on the way, and then when the England part of the trip got canceled, we were going to retool things and instead see the doubleheader with New Jersey away and then Carolina at home.
Yeah, that sucks. I would have probably flown up with Jules to meet you at Wells Fargo.
Oh, I would. So sick. Like, oh.
And I'd make Kenny drive to meet us too. He's probably gone. I think he's.
Yeah, you haven't said anything in a while, Kenny.
Yeah, he's not interested. He probably went to go piss too. So that's all right. It's just me and you, Ben.
We're talking.
Talking.
But yeah. I think we should leave some of these things for next week for our banter session. I don't know if we can talk about I don't know if we can talk about politics for the first 20 minutes again.
I don't know if I can talk about Islanders next week. Like, at this, it's going to be another week removed, and it's like the last thing on my mind. But I have no problem recapping what I've done in my life over the next 7 days, because I'm sure it'll be weird and interesting. My last count was 29 rolls of toilet paper. However, my parents on the East Coast of Florida ran out of toilet paper, so I ended up overnighting them 6 rolls.
I don't get the panic buy thing. Doesn't work for me. Like, I feel like that's not the first thing you're going to use, you know?
Well, okay, first of all, that's number one because you're a child. No offense, but like...
No, but I just have a bone to pick about this, because tell me there are things that you use faster than toilet rolls.
Of course, but when you think about not being able to leave your home for a long time, what strikes more fear in your heart? Not having the food that you want, or not being able to wipe after you've taken a shit?
So here's the thing. The response to that is, I'm not sure. Because for two reasons. One, because if people are going to be like scrambling for the last toilet roll, just get baby wipes. They work.
It's true.
And there's like, they work. The other thing is that go and get like 6 or 7 rolls of toilet paper if you maybe are running low. Maybe or go get 6 or 7 if you think you might be shelled up for a while. Maybe get 2 packs if you're feeling crazy or you're running low. But I feel like the panics that people should be having should be about food, not about – because how long does it take you to go through 6 rolls of toilet paper?
Well, there's actually a calculator on there. Let me see if I can find it because Jules sent me a text. There's an app. How much toilet paper you have and how much you've used. And it's pretty interesting, actually. So let me see if I have it. Yes, okay. How much toilet paper? So based on how much you have, it'll tell you how much. So right now, according to this app, which I don't know. I think like – I don't know how they calculate how big the roll is. But it says that I will last 179 days or 1,279% of my quarantine. So –
yes, so I'm fine.
But I think with the panic buying, it's just that when people realize that this is all going to be gone, instinctually you just buy more of it because, you know, it becomes a hot commodity. So it's just exponential hysteria, you know? I mean, that's how that works. That's
my mom said she waited in line at Trader Joe's for like 45 minutes a day.
Right.
My brother said, "Why didn't you just come back tomorrow?" And my mom was like, I guess that would have worked.
I mean, it's just, yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, most of the food's gone. I mean, I'm vegetarian, so all the vegetarian stuff was like buy one, get one off because they were like, well, hell with it, whatever. So I've been in my glory, man. I've been buying so much crap. It's like, all right, sweet.
Yeah.
Get this fake meat and that thing. And I don't know. I mean, if things really get bad, Kenny can crawl up in his attic and eat those squirrels. So, I mean, there's that. So.
How are they doing, Kenny? You back?
I keep seeing his
My bad.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I was so confused.
No, the squirrels are gone. Squirrels are gone. But you guys really should invest in one of those little I don't know what the brand is, but it's not a bidet, but it's like a little attachment for your toilet. You don't really have to use that much toilet paper. It kind of just cleans you. Like,
yeah,
you know,
well,
2020. It's not. It's 2020 and, you know, toilet paper is like, you know, pretty old, just smearing shit on your ass. So, I mean, I don't know. Give it a try.
It's true.
I'm just saying.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, we could get to Demolition Man where we use shells. You use 3 shells to wipe your ass.
That's highly recommend. A little bit. I'll get either the brand of this thing. I don't know what it's called, but it's honestly like it sounds crazy, but it once you use it one time, it changes the game. Like you're just like, toilet paper? What?
You know You know what they do down south is the hillbilly bidet. So you get one of those like old lawn chairs and you cut the bottom out and you put a sprinkler underneath.
I mean, this is not as aggressive, but it's basically the same idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how we started talking about toilet paper and
says the guy who talked about shit for 20 minutes.
No, I know.
Yeah. And this you were talking about how humans, everyone's going to love each other. This is the reason why everyone's going to hate each other is because these fucking idiots are buying toilet paper. Like crazy. And you're talking about people loving each other after this? People are stupid.
I told you, Damon.
I didn't – listen. I went to the store. It was loaded with toilet paper. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy a 12-pack. And then I walked by and then there was an end cap and it had like a sale on the 6-pack. So I'm like, well – I'm like, these idiots are going to be standing in line forever, so I'm just going to buy everything now while the store is here. And then I don't have to worry about it for the next 3 months. So –
I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying that's the reason why I don't have any faith in people treating each other better after this because humans are stupid.
Well, I've been panic buying beer.
Me too, dude.
Like,
you know,
I was like, oh boy. Like, I went to the thing and I was talking to the cashier today, and she's like, oh man, she's like, you're just getting beer. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I planned my toilet paper like weeks ago. I'm like, but the beer that I ran out of, and she's like, oh, it's a good thing. And then the guy behind hit me was like, I'm out here just getting strawberries. And he literally had one. He was like an older guy. So I'm like, why are you out, man?
But
like, he bought one case, like the little tiny plastic case of strawberries. And I was like, oh, I'm like, what's going on there? And he's like, the wife sent me out for strawberries. This is the second time I'm back. And I'm like, okay. He's like, I didn't buy enough the first time. I'm like, well, I don't know if you're buying enough now. I'm like, but. He's like, the wife wants strawberries. You got to get strawberries. I'm like, all right, have a good one. Stay safe.
There you go.
You got to get out of Florida, dude. You got to get out of Florida.
I mean, I'm making him sound like a hillbilly. I live on the I live on the coast. Like, no one that lives in my neighborhood or in my area is actually from Florida. So it's like all like Northeasterners and like Midwesterners. So they don't really sound like that. But in my mind, anybody who's not me is a hillbilly.
Yeah, idiot. They're hicks.
It's just the way, like, you have to have like stranger voice in your head for everybody that's not you, right? Like, that's like when I lived in New York, it was like, hey, what are you gonna do? You know, do she wants strawberries, so I got strawberries. I mean, what do you forget about it? What do you want from me? But now that I don't live in New York, it's not that. It's, you know, Billy Bob, Billy Bob Strawberry.
All right, you think we should cut it at Billy Bob Strawberry?
Ben, does it even matter anymore? If you're still listening to us, let us know. Tweet us.
How many rolls of toilet paper do you have left?
Tristan, I know you're still listening, man. We love you. All the best out there in the UK. I hope you're doing well. I hope that you're doing better as far as toilet paper goes. I mean, do you call it toilet paper there, or is it like, you know, I don't know. What would Ben help me? What do they call it there?
The rolls for the ass.
Yeah, the ass royale. If you've got enough ass royales or whatever, like, you know. No, but seriously, I know you're listening, Tristan. Anybody else that's listening, again, stay safe. I hope you're doing well. I hope that we brought a little bit of fun. We don't know what we're doing right now. We talk hockey. There's no hockey, so this is what you're getting. You're getting all sorts of weirdness, and that's okay. And, you know, if there's some other weird stuff that you're just curious about that has nothing to do with the Islanders, tweet me and Ben. Ben's at @LISound_. I'm at KaijuBlue13. Kenny's a coward.
Not the real Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's NHL Trump. He's a burner account. By the way, we found out who NHL Trump is because someone forgot to change their account and tweeted as NHL Trump with their other name. And I'll tell you guys off air who that was if you're interested.
I'm totally interested because I was convinced the dude was an Islanders fan.
It is an Islanders fan.
It is an Islanders fan.
That's a lot.
I knew it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I knew it.
So, anyway. But, yeah, find us on SoundCloud. Find us on iTunes. Find us on Spotify, Facebook, the Long Island Sound podcast group.
Ask us what our favorite food is. Ask Damon why he's a vegetarian. Ask Kenny why he's so weird. Ask me why I'm so crazy. Actually, I should have reversed those two. I should have said crazy for you and weird for – I messed that up so badly.
It's all good. You get it. What do you think Leo Komarov's doing right now?
Having the time of his life.
Specifically.
He's back in Russia.
You think
no,
him
he's
in,
not Russian, dude.
Who is
he's
the other guy
Russian.
That used to play for? Kulemin. I miss Kulemin.
I'm pretty sure he's Russian. He has
to. You remember Kulemin, Ben?
He's not. Wait, time out. Time
I remember
out.
Kulemin.
He is not.
He was
I
good,
loved,
right?
Like Kulemin.
I
he's
loved Kulemin.
Great. That guy was
Komarov
great.
Is not Russian. He just has a Russian name. I think he's Estonian. So you got to fact check that, man. That's fake news.
Kulemin on NHL 17 was like, ugh.
Dude,
that was the first NHL I ever played, NHL 17.
I miss Kulemin.
Wait, before we go now, because I can't let this go, I'm going to look up. Where
is
Leo's
playing?
From.
Actually, to be fair.
Oh, my God. He's Finnish? Okay, so I'm really off. Wow.
Okay,
okay
so
I said
you can't even get mad at me anymore.
His name is Leonid Alexandrovich Komarov. He was born January 23rd, 1987. He's a Finnish-Russian professional ice hockey center. He's not a center. He's a wing. For the New York Islanders of the National
Hockey League. We can vouch that he's not a center.
He was born in Finland, so there you go. You're way off.
All right, guys. Well, I think next week we might have to talk about our personal lives a little bit. So if there's anything you want to tell me off air not to bring up, and we can play a little accent roulette and see how many accents Damon can do. Whatever you guys want us to do, let us know.
Boy, oh boy. I could do it. I could do it. I mean, I might need a little practice.
It's too late for this.
I mean, just wait. You should hear me doing Sesame Street. I'm like a psychopath. Anyway.
All
right. Thanks for sticking with us. Guys, we don't know what's going on. Just stay safe. Stay well. Love one another from 6 feet away. For Ben and Kenny, I'm Damon. We'll be back next week. Later.
We are the
I don't feel good already, dude. I got a cough.
We are the children. We are the ones who make it. So let's Start giving. Oh, that's such a good song. I can't even.
Honestly, I don't know if I'm hungover or if I just don't actually feel good at all. This is scaring me a little bit. I mean, I don't have a cough, but like,
Kenny won't be back next week, so it'll be me and Ben.
No, I'm good. I drank a lot last night.